Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour two.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, and I sure am glad to have you this fine Masters Week. The phone number 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. A real small, just prayer requests, please. My oldest had her genetic testing today. You know, my wife's cancer is genetic, and we waited and waited and waited till our oldest crossed 18 based on the advice of doctors, so she will get the results back in a few weeks, but your prayers appreciated on this. I want to talk about a situation that's become a little bit personal. I have occasionally gotten invited to, or I shouldn't say I've been invited to. I have been added to group chats. And I really don't like being added to group chats, and my tendency is actually to disconnect from the group chat and also disconnect from those who added me to the group chat. If you ever add me to a group chat, expect that you will soon find we're not followers of each other on social media anymore. I resent like hell being added, but there's one I got added to, and I knew enough of the people in it, and I was like, these are intriguing people. I'm going to stick at this group chat. And I've gotten to know the guys, and they're great, great men, and they're all involved in politics in Virginia, Georgia, Washington, D.C., and the like, and have some great conversations with them and made some friends out of it. Care about these guys. One of them, who I don't know him, but several of the people who do know the guy, care for him deeply. He's not in great health. He lives in New York and is friends with a lady. They've been quite deep friends for some time. Platonic. She was run over and killed the other day in New York. Run over and killed by a driver who had had multiple charges and had no business being behind a wheel, but New York, as is becoming the pattern in so many cases, didn't enforce the law. So a young woman in New York City is being buried because New York chose to look after the lawbreakers more than the law-abiding citizens. Progressive policies in cities around the country are getting people killed. I want to contrast this with the city of Atlanta, where the mayor is in hot water with progressives. Because the mayor in Atlanta, the new mayor, decided that the police needed to police. You know the remarkable thing that's happened in the city of Atlanta? Crime has gone down. And not gone down because of a failure to report crime. This is one of the things that the left is pointing to now. They're saying, look, crime statistically, crime is going down around the country. People are talking about all the shoplifting in California, but crime has actually gone down in California. Well, what's happening is that people are no longer reporting the crimes because they know nothing's going to happen. California passed Proposition 47. Proposition 47 has driven up crime in California, but it's made shoplifting under like $950 a misdemeanor, so nobody reports it. You've got shops all over California closing up shop because all their products keep getting stolen. They can't stay in business, and the progressive crime civil justice advocates are like, look, crime's falling. I don't know why they're complaining. Well, when people stop reporting crime, it lowers the rates of crime statistically, even though crime hasn't gone down. An absence of report doesn't mean an absence of crime. It just means the statistics go down because people have given up reporting. In Atlanta, crime has gone down because the mayor has actually forced the police to beef up their presence and supported the police, because the last mayor in Atlanta didn't have the back of the police, threw the police under the bus, blamed the police for everything. The police stopped policing and crime skyrocketed. So the new guy, wild, crazy idea. Let's crack down on crime. Crime has gone down. There are parts of the city that for a while I didn't feel comfortable being out at night in, and now no problem. New York City, however, is a place where the progressive district attorney, Alvin Bragg, and others have just given up prosecuting crimes. What's the guy who he's been prosecuted for the death on the subway? He was protecting everybody on the subway, Pennyman or whatever his name is, Daniel Pennyman. He was protecting people from a crazy man who was trying to harm people on the subway, put him in a headlock. The guy was a drug addict, ultimately died, and now they're charging the good guy with the crime, but they never did charge the bad guy. There was the guy in New York City who went into the subway system with a gun and killed a bunch of people. He should have been in prison. But absolutely, they refused to keep him in prison. They let him out. Cashless bail. They're not making people pay bail. People are getting out of prison. Crime is going up. But it's not just that. It's school systems as well. So around the country yesterday, a lot of parents kept their kids out of school to watch the eclipse. I know more than 24 people in the path of the eclipse who kept their kids home from school yesterday because they wanted to experience a once-in-a-lifetime event with their kids. The next eclipse to happen in this country is going to be in 21 years. It'll be across from California across the South. But that's a long time to wait. So a lot of people kept their kids home from school so they could experience a total solar eclipse, which is a remarkable event. But you know, a lot of schools shut down. A lot of schools shut down. A lot of teachers didn't want to show up during the eclipse. I can't really blame them. But this is a pattern where a lot of progressive educators and unions are shutting down schools or making schools close for one reason or another. Kids are falling behind, and then they don't take blame themselves. During COVID, schools in blue states and blue cities were shut down, while in red states and red cities, schools were open as best they could. And guess what? The kids in the blue areas of the country are falling behind kids in the red areas of the country. I hate to use the red-blue dichotomy, but it works here. Conservative areas of the country stayed open. Progressive areas closed down. And now those conservative areas, education-wise, are getting ahead of the blue areas in the country. And now you know it's only a matter of time before the blue areas of the country, the progressive areas, demand a bailout from everybody else because the effects of their policies are coming home to roost. Progressive parts of the country keep screwing up the country and then demanding everyone else bail them out. Crime is right now the biggest issue. District attorney races matter so much. The group is that George Soros funded that's been backing progressive prosecutors around the country. They claim that they're rethinking crime and that we just need to give them time. I want you to understand what prison is. Prison is not a place to rehabilitate someone. Prison is supposed to be a place to punish someone. We embrace this progressive idea that prison was a place to rehabilitate people, but I want people punished for their crimes, not rehabilitated. Because prisons aren't effective places to rehabilitate, what progressives have done is said, well, we now need to work on rehabilitation and help in communities rehabilitating people instead of punishing people. No, we need to punish people. We have forgotten what justice is. The reason the left wants to rehabilitate people is because the left's progressive policies failed to begin with. the left's progressive policies have consistently failed. And they just keep moving the goalposts. They play Calvin ball with our judicial system. We're not supposed to punish people anymore. We're supposed to rehabilitate people. Well, prisons aren't rehabilitating people. Now we're going to shut down the prisons and defund the police, and we're going to move the money elsewhere to rehabilitate the criminal. You're not rehabilitating the criminal. You're incentivizing the criminal continuing to commit crimes, knowing that you're going to tickle them instead of spank them. I wasn't a big spanker of my children, but there were a few times my children got walloped when they were little. We now laugh about those instances. I can count on maybe one hand the times I've spanked both of my kids. But they remember every last one of them, and you know what? They cleaned up their act. Prison is a spanking for the criminals. We no longer put them over the judge's knee. We put them in prison. And for some people, you just need to lock them away, throw away the key. But the left wants to be humored. They don't want shot tracking in neighborhoods where there's lots of violence. They claim it's discrimination. They hide behind race on everything because they can't acknowledge that their policies of coddling people over time collapsed families, generated crime waves. You know, my son, the other day, maybe I shouldn't be talking about this. But my son said the other day that he wanted to take his time finding someone to get married to because he never wanted a divorce. My wife asked him why, and he said, because all the kids who are causing trouble at school their parents have gotten divorced. And he sees what it's like for the kids he goes to school with, who he's considered friends in the past, to see what's going on now, and he attributes it, as the other kids in school do, to the collapse of the family. There's a lot of data to back that up. It's not a judgment, not trying to be mean, not trying to hurt your feelings, those of you who are divorced, but you know there's a lot of data, and you probably went through it with your kids if you went through a divorce. Some people handle it better than others, and some kids handle it better than others. But the left's policies have incentivized the collapse of family. Families will collapse for a lot of reasons. Adultery, alcoholism, all sorts of things. Sad to see, but sometimes, frankly, it's necessary. In an abusive situation, you need to save yourself and your kids and get out of an abusive situation. Still causes ramifications. But the left's policies have disincentivized marriage to begin with, have devalued marriage, have disincentivized families staying together. It has caused a collapse of family. It has caused a spike in crime. And now what do they want to do? Well, they want to defund the prisons. They just want to rehabilitate people. You can't rehabilitate someone who's never had to pay the burden of justice for what they did to begin with. And in New York and in Los Angeles and in San Francisco and in Chicago and elsewhere, they're starting to pay the price. You know, in California now, you had Proposition 47. They're rethinking it, and now there's a citizens movement to essentially reform Proposition 47 through another citizen movement. It needs to happen. They have disincentivized the reporting of crime. They've caused a spike in crime, and people aren't being punished for the crimes. They have no incentive to stop breaking the law when they get away with it so often. It is the failure of progressive policies meeting reality. You know why conservatism is a better political philosophy than progressivism generally? Because conservatism actually starts with the idea that men individually are bad. That sounds harsh. Another way of saying it is that men are sinners, but we try to take the theology out of it. Just men are prone to vice. You know it and I know it. Every single one of us is prone to some level of vice. So the political philosophy of conservatism really wraps around, how do you compete vice against vice to contain people through arm's length, free market transactions, and in government, the checks and balances and the needs of one and the desires of another? How do you balance them out, competing people against people for the common interest? Progressivism starts with the idea of, if not of a blank slate, that all men are angels when they start. Every single person who's had a baby knows that baby is no angel. It poops and cries and stays up all night and doesn't know what to do with itself. You got to feed it. You got to nurture it. You got to take care of it. And it feeds off your emotion and energies. Progressivism is a mental health disorder at this point in this country. And look what it's doing in New York. A guy I know, a girl he liked, is dead because the city of New York failed to punish a bad guy. So he kept getting away with more and more until he's taken someone's life. And the story plays out repeatedly around the country in progressive enclaves where the progressives have decided that they know best. And every time progressives decide they know best, people wind up dead. And that's a problem.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. Phone number 877-973-7425. Let me go to the phones here. Glenn, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. Thank you. While you're talking about crime and punishment, the Crumleys got sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison for the horrible shooting and crime that their son committed. They gave him a gun. Supposedly they could have stopped him. So I have 2 points to make. I'd like you to respond, because this is like a perfect Eric question, in my opinion. One is, are we opening up Pandora's box and slippery slope? How many people are going to be charged with the crimes of their children? The other is, from your friend, this young lady got run over or killed, she got killed because also of a preventable crime, because this person already had multiples, and we have that happening all over the country. They're letting dangerous people out, parole boards and judges, and they're hurting other people. Shouldn't they be held responsible just like the Crumleys? So that's 2 points.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, just comment on the slippery slope part. Where's that going to end? Or maybe we should hold parents responsible. And the other one is, or maybe not. I don't think so. And the other one is, shouldn't the judges and the attorneys and the other folks be held to have the same accountability?
Okay. Yes and no. I hate to fall back on it's complicated. But so let's take the Crumley situation first. I had a law professor one time who said it's only a slippery slope if we choose to slide. And I suspect there are going to be more of these sorts of suits. But that was kind of a unique situation based on the fact pattern. So their son, Ethan, was 15. He killed 4 students with a handgun at Oxford High School. Others were wounded in the shooting. It was clear he was suffering mental health issues from what came out of trial. It was clear he was suffering issues. Also had apparently anger issues, among other things. And the parents, knowing all of this and all of his issues, went out and bought him a gun that he used 2 days later to commit the shooting with. So I do think we got to keep that fact pattern in mind that, I mean, the prosecutors were able to show that they legitimately should have known that he was suffering with serious issues that could lead to something like this, which he jumped to 2 days later. The problem on the other side, though, is you've got elected officials, and elected officials who make public policy decisions aren't criminally prosecutable for those public policy decisions. But they should be held accountable by the voters. And, you know, if the voters keep voting them in office, well, the voters have to pay the price. That's the problem. You know, Hillsdale College has actually written about this in Primus, this particular issue. You can get Primus for free if you go to ericforhillsdale.com. So Hillsdale has talked about, how do you hold public officials accountable when they make these crazy decisions that upend society? There is thought to it in conservatism on how to hold people accountable. A lot of it has to do with voters' actions or inactions, though. You can read Primus completely free. You can subscribe to it. I have subscribed to it, since I was in law school, I think, completely for free. There is no charge for Primus. It comes every month, and it's always filled with brilliant insight. It's ericforhillsdale.com is the website, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Heather McDonald has written about crime issues in there. Chris Rufo has written about CRT and DEI issues. EricForHillsdale.com, wealth of information every month. Welcome back. Eric Erickson here, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, let's go to the phones. Arthur, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to talk to you again. Earlier discussion about social media providing information to FBI and law enforcement. could the law enforcement agencies use that information as a basis for a warrant?
Yes, they can. In fact, that's now been documented to happen. So, for example, let me use you a justifiable case here. You buy the data, you connect it to someone who's accused of murder, and you find that that individual was actually in the vicinity where they've adamantly denied that they were. Their cell phone, at least, pinged. That's enough probable cause, considering they still have that cell phone, to then get a warrant. So they can use it as a basis to then get a warrant. The problem is, in a lot of cases that have been uncovered, they never then proceeded to get the warrant. They just went in and got the FISA surveillance order from a judge, basing it off of what they said was lawful search data, which is it's arguable as to whether or not that was for a basis of getting a warrant. It becomes complicated when they bypass the warrant route and go straight to the FISA court.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good, though.
Okay. No, it doesn't. Yeah, it really doesn't. I hope that answers the question, though.
It does. Thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Look, I see. Let's just go back to Flock. Let's just focus on Flock for a minute, because I know there are a lot of people, particularly the civil liberties people, who are really upset about Flock. They should be upset about the radar cameras at school zones, but nevertheless. Let's talk about Flock, because every community in this country is now looking at Flock, from California to Connecticut. There are local communities using Flock. Now, let me tell you how you can identify Flock. It is a black pole. It's a skinny pole, not a big foam pole. It's a skinny black metal pole that has a camera on it with a solar panel on top. And what Flock is, I personally think it's a pretty ingenious system. It uses a license plate reader, can detect the characters in the license plates, funnels them into a database, uses high-powered computer processing to track those license plate numbers. So when the police come calling to Flock and says, look, we're looking for someone who's kidnapped a kid, here's the license plate of the vehicle believed to have taken, they can very quickly figure out the person's route, where they've been, are they currently on a road, are they currently detected. It can really save lives. Where it becomes a problem, however, is, and they don't sell it to other commercial data, they only sell it to like police and homeowners associations for people coming in and out of neighborhoods and stuff. But let's say there's a competing company that sells it to private vendors who overlay it with cell phone data and other information. You're building a massive, massive profile on Americans that could then be sold to the government, and the government can bypass the requirements of the Fourth Amendment for a warrant. That is where it really does become a civil liberties issue. Look, I'm a realist enough to know we're not going to shut everything down at this point. We're not going to shut everything down. But I do think we should be more cautious when the government is able to do things that the Constitution says it shouldn't do by going into the private sector and engaging in the private sector in ways I think the Constitution suggests the government should not, to protect our civil liberties. And we've got to bifurcate this and separate it out between people who are not American citizens and people who are American citizens. Because I really don't care if the government wants to spy on Chinese spies in the United States. I really don't care if the government wants to spy on those people who mean us ill will. The problem is, under the Biden administration, frankly, it seems like the Biden administration is just so much more committed to undermining our national security and undermining our civil liberties than they are these spies. I'm going to tell you guys, this is Arthur, you've got me going off on something I wasn't even going to get into. I don't even think this is a conspiracy theory. I was going to start this with saying my conspiracy theory. Everybody has conspiracy theories. That you got to be careful if your whole life is conspiracy theories. But what I really, truly am concerned with, and the FBI has been raising warnings about this in Congress with members of Congress. Marco Rubio has very recently talked about his conversations with Chris Wray, the FBI director, and others. There are enemies of this country coming across our border. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. Do I have proof? Do you have proof that it's not happening? We already know high number of Chinese nationals have been caught, but we also know there's a massive tens of thousands every month gotaways. We know the drug cartels are able to sneak into this country. Why can't Hezbollah? In fact, Chris Ray has been sounding the alarm about it. You don't have to take my word for it as it's some sort of conspiracy theory when you have the director of the FBI saying this is a national security issue that we need to be worried about. You should be paying attention to it. The problem is that you and I are paying attention to it and Joe Biden is not because of politics. The politics that Joe Biden refuses to deal with is very straightforward. He could have secured the border a long time ago by executive action. But Joe Biden refused to secure the border by executive action. He's allowed the problem to fester. The problem has festered so badly now that Joe Biden can't do anything by executive order. Because if he were to do it by executive order, it would be proof that he could have done it all along. So for political sake, for political expediency for Joe Biden, he now is forced to let this fester instead of doing the right thing, because if he were to fix the problem, it would be prima facie proof positive that Joe Biden could have fixed the problem all along. We were told that Joe Biden was a leader. Leaders do the right thing, damn the consequences. But that's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not leading. Joe Biden is letting the progressive left lead him. And the progressive left wants open borders because they need to replace populations in Democratic strongholds for purposes of the census, for purposes of the Electoral College, among other things. We do need legal immigration in this country. We are declining population-wise in this country. And that long-term is going to cause us problems. Long-term, yeah, it's going to cause us problems as we have fewer and fewer Americans born to fill the needs for this country, to pay taxes, Social Security, to generate jobs, to staff jobs. We got to have immigrants into this country. It is a no-brainer. And I don't really think that most Americans disagree with this. I realize there are some hardliners who want to seal the border and say no one come in, it's just us, but that's a losing proposition when Americans are not procreating. At the same time, the legal pathway for citizenship or even for resident alien status in this country must take precedence over allowing people to flood the border illegally and disrespecting our territorial sovereignty, particularly when there is no doubt in my mind, nor in the mind of the head of the FBI, nor in the minds of senior intelligence officials in Washington and members of Congress, that our enemies are coming into this country as well. And because our enemies are coming into this country over our border, taking advantage of Joe Biden's lack of security at the border, Americans are vulnerable, and we shouldn't have to figure out this after a death toll of Americans from terrorists in this country. It should offend you, not that I'm saying this, but that the President of the United States is unwilling to fix the problem, lest it reveal he could have fixed it the whole time. Chad Wolf was in charge of the border for the Trump administration. He was on television the other day. I don't have the audio, but he was basically making this point that there are plenty of statutes in the immigration statutes that allow the president to secure the border without an act of Congress if he believes that our national security is being jeopardized. He could, based on the FBI warnings that the FBI is issuing, that the FBI is saying, do this. The most damnable thing here, though, to me, is that we had a sense that Al-Qaeda was up to something before 9/11. I've used this analogy before. It's like the velociraptors testing the fence in Jurassic Park to see if the power was off, and they know when the power is off and they can get out and they can start raising havoc. It's what Al-Qaeda did with, you know, there was the first World Trade Center bombing in 93. There's the Khobar Towers. There's the USS Cole. all these things to see, was the United States paid attention? Did the United States have the capacity to pay attention? Did the United States have the will to pay attention? Was the United States the giant going back to sleep? The same thing's happening now. You can see it happening now. 23 years after 9/11, it's happening again. The velociraptors are probing the fence. We have people crossing the border. We have fentanyl being trafficked into this country. We have Americans dying every single day from drug overdoses from a fentanyl manufactured in China, smuggled into Mexico, or not even smuggled, legally trafficked into Mexico and then smuggled into this country. We have Americans held hostage by Hamas. American citizens are held hostage by Hamas, and Joe Biden is willing to sell them out to the terrorists because he's worried about the America-hating terrorists in Michigan who are chanting death to America. We're not going to vote for Joe Biden. The fences are being probed again. It's not dinosaurs. It's not a science fiction, science fantasy movie. It's reality. And it's terrorists. The creeping, crawling monsters in the shadows are creeping ever closer. And our president, this president, is doing nothing, because if he were to do anything, it would expose that he could have done something all along and he failed to do so and was negligent, and he would shoulder the political blame. How many Americans are going to die because Joe Biden refuses to fix what he could have done before? And, you know, I think most Americans, and politically I get it, he'd be eaten alive. But most Americans understand people make mistakes. And if you own up to the mistake and you say you're sorry, Americans are tend to be willing to give you credit for it. Except if Joe Biden were to do this, in addition to the right eating him alive, the left would eat him alive. Because the left doesn't want him to secure the border for all sorts of political reasons. How many Americans are going to die because Joe Biden won't do the right thing? It's a horrible question to have to ask about the president of the United States. But when the director of the FBI is warning us that people of malintent are coming into this country illegally, getting away from authorities, and we're seeing signs of it at the border, God forbid it should happen. God forbid something should happen. But when the FBI is warning, you should probably take it seriously. When the FBI director is saying there are problems, there are red flags, there are red alarms going off across the country, you should probably take it seriously. And that the president of the United States refuses to take it seriously because of his election chances is a horrible thing to see. Americans should not die because of Joe Biden's need to win re-election. That's just the bottom line. Sobering. Oh, wait until you hear what he's doing with Ukraine. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. First, I got to tell you about Vision Computers. Y'all, let me just, for those of you who are new here, those of you listening on some of our new stations, Vision is headquartered in Atlanta, but that doesn't matter because they can build you a computer. Some of you are tempted to go to a big box store, a one-size-fits-all store, where you get a computer that's already made, or you go online to one of those computer store websites where you don't actually talk to people, you guesstimate what you might need. With Vision, you can call them and you can build a computer that not only do you want, but it's going to take care of you, it's going to be upgradable, and you're going to get a better price, and it's going to fit your needs as opposed to the one-size-fits-all. And you're going to actually talk to a live human being instead of trying to guesstimate for yourself on a sterile website. And then they're going to give you a phone number once you got the computer. And you're going to be able to call them anytime you have a question about your computer. They're going to be able to answer the question. They can handle printer support, email support, tech support, whatever you need. But here's the thing. If you have a computer that you got from the one-size-fits-all big box store and you're having trouble with it, for a low annual fee, Vision Computer can become your tech support for that computer that you didn't even buy from them. and they'll answer your questions, and they can remote in, and they can help you fix it, and they can deal with email support, and they can deal with printer support, and you can get a question answered faster than you can Google the answer because they're that good. They have thousands of five-star Google reviews. They're a wonderful company. And we have one of their computers in our house, and I never have to be tech support for my family. Because my kid can call Vision and they answer his questions and they answer it at his level. They'll answer it at your level and they can do it for your whole company for a small annual fee of $179 a year, not a month. They can take care of your company and offload your tech burdens to Vision Computers so your employees can have the burdens of their jobs on them and not have to worry about being proficient at their computers. VisionComputers.com or 404Compute. Call them at 404Compute. Tell them I sent you. You get an even better deal. VisionComputers.com or 404Compute.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Greetings, conversationalists. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. The NAIA has banned trans athletes from women's sports. If you've never heard of the NAIA, it's the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. Essentially, it's a small college organization. The Council of Presidents approved the policy 20-0 after a December survey indicated widespread support for the move. The NAIA is a national athletic governing body for 249 mostly small colleges around the country that are not part of the NCAA's three divisions of competition. The membership is 80% private schools, doesn't apply to NCAA competitions. Now, you will notice that the NAIA, I'm willing to bet without actually looking, but just given the data, probably smaller religious-oriented schools are some of the groups in there. What they've decided essentially to do is that no men can compete in women's sports. But if you want to compete in men's sports, by all means, go ahead, which actually isn't really a thing. What I find more notable, though, is I gotta talk about Omaha here a minute, but using the phrase gender or sex assigned at birth, you know, you're not assigned a sex at birth. You just are male or female. Woke speak in the media on this aggravating. You got to pay attention to it.